How are you?
Okay, I would like to open up the House Education Committee for June 5th, 2017. And today we have a great informational hearing on the PACS Good Behavior Game. So we've got folks from Washington County, we have folks from Jackson County. So Jackson County, you guys are up.
Squeeze in, we'll use some PACS behavior.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Chair Doherty. Vice Chair Wilson, and the rest of the committee. For the record, my name is Susan Fisher. I'm the health.
And if you want to pull the microphone just about this far closer, thank you very much.
I am the Health and Education Integration Coordinator for All Care Health. We are a coordinated care organization serving almost 48,000 members in Jackson, Josephine, Curry, and Southern Douglas counties. Should I put it to presentation? We wish to extend our gratitude to be here with you today on behalf of the children, families, and amazing schools in Southern Oregon. Today, our aim is to highlight the urgent need for PACS in our schools and the powerful return on investment it's been proven to yield for students, staff, and communities. To begin introducing you to the cross-sector organizations working collaboratively in Southern Oregon to implement PACS Good Behavior Game to fidelity, and to provide an overview of how the multiple system transformations taking place in Oregon are creating unique opportunities for partnerships. And finally, we wish to speak briefly to you about how PACS contributes to the hopeful and holistic approach to the science of NEAR, which is neurobiology, epigenetics, ACEs, and resiliency. So this young PACS leader is both the why and the how of PACS Good Behavior Game. For those of us supporting PACS implementation in Oregon, we're in Washington, Yamhill, Lane, and our Southern Oregon counties. She and her classmates are the champions of change. PACS empowers learners to better their world by bettering themselves. Throughout our messaging today, we hope that you will feel heartened and inspired by the deep body of research PACS has used to inform the structure and evolution of PACS Good Behavior Game. As an educator, I know that curricula and behavior management initiatives come and they go, placing a great strain on the staff and children in our schools. PACS is not an in-the-box solution that need take time away from the beautiful work our schools do each day. It's a set of values, skills, and supports that enhances and brings to life the best in our children and those serving them. Because it's good for all of our children, we recognize PACS to be a public health intervention for many of the most challenging realities of our modern time, including depression, suicide, drug use and abuse, school dropout rates, and the loss of human capital. If you look at Medicaid expenditures for the five most costly conditions in children and their trends between 2006 and 2011, there was a marked increase in expenditures for mental health disorders. Prevention and promotion are key to reducing this trend, as is intervention. PACS Good Behavior Game puts a tool for each of these into the hands of teachers, administrators, support staff, and parents. So, what exactly is PACS? PACS Good Behavior Game is an environmental intervention used in the classroom with young children to create an environment that is conducive to learning. The intervention is designed to reduce off-task behavior, increase attentiveness, and decrease disruptive behavior. It can also help with our shy and withdrawn students. It helps them to blossom. PACS Good Behavior Game evolved from the original Good Behavior Game, which was developed and studied with fourth graders in 1960. The intervention includes a set of evidence-based strategies called kernels and a classroom game that's intended to increase self-regulation and cooperation and decrease unwanted behaviors, which we call spleens. You will be hearing more about these from my Southern Oregon partners, as well as our colleagues from Washington County shortly. PAC's Good Behavior Game has also been informed by the Peace Builders School Framework, which saw direct correlations between its implementation and visits to school offices where the nurses were located, according to a 1997 study by the Center for Disease Control. This represents a snapshot of the time and energy that can be redirected away from reactionary interventions to be focused on proactive and preventative models of service when such frameworks are used well by schools. In respect for our time together, and in order to be PACS leaders ourselves and share the floor with Washington County, I'm going to flip through the next few slides very quickly. We are glad that you have these paper copies in your hand and hopefully have electronic access to them, and do hope that if you have questions that you'll forward those to us. So right now, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Teresa Sayer, one of our community champions with PAC's Good Behavior Game.
Good afternoon, Chair Doherty and the rest of the council. I'm happy to be here.
Just put the mic about this much closer to you.
Okay, just a little closer.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's real sensitive, so that's fine.
Thank you. It's fantastic to be here, and I represent a superintendent from a small district, and our story is that over the last 5 years, we started to see an increase in behaviors in many of our classrooms that were tough for us to explain.
And I'm sorry, I think I introduced you when you were introducing yourself, so if you want to do that again so we know.
Okay. Teresa Sayer, and I'm the superintendent of the Phoenix Talent School District. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We had been studying a lot of different ideas about how to intervene with the types of behaviors that we were seeing, and the behaviors ultimately were resulting in students being excluded from classrooms. And while I was traveling on this journey, I was also traveling on a journey with our regional achievement compact, which is called Southern Oregon Success. And I had the chance to meet this wonderful person to my left. And she called me and she said, hey, can you spare us a little bit of time to talk about this PAC's Good Behavior Game? So I certainly, and come on over. And it's because of the relationship that I built with Susan that I was open to listening to her. And so she came and she presented this. And the minute I saw the change that it could cause in our students and put in the number of first graders that we had in our district, I was like, wow, why don't we give this a try? Mm-hmm. Because over the years, as I said, we were seeing increased behaviors, and we were also seeing increased suicides and suicide attempts. And so we implemented the game, and this was mid-year, and I said, let's not wait. If this can really happen, let's go forward right now. And so we implemented the training with first grade teachers in February. And I have some pretty amazing results I want to share with you, but I also want to let you know that what I realized at this point was that when we took a look at this and what it was actually doing is that with No Child Left Behind, we had lost our way, I feel. We had lost our way because we no longer were teaching social-emotional skills. We didn't even have the tools left. We looked in our closets to try to find what tools did we have to teach, and we didn't have those tools. So that's one of the reasons that I have fully embraced the Good Behavior Game, because it does it in such a wonderful way that teaches all of those self-regulatory skills and the different skills that you'll see in the documentation. So moving forward, at the end of the first year, in just about 3.5 months after we implemented the all of the pieces of the Good Behavior Game, these were our results. And you can see in red, those were the number of spleens that were counted as our baseline data. So SPLEAMS aren't necessarily bad things, but they're just anything that takes away from focused learning. And so it could be just that I'm not actively participating, or I've got my head on the desk. That could be a SPLEAM. Or it could be that I'm shouting and throwing a chair. That could be a SPLEAM as well. So those are the things that would be counted. But it is a full 70 to 75% reduction from our baseline data 3 months later. And I can tell you what I'm here to tell you again today is that this is our first full year of implementation, and our data again is showing a 73% reduction. So you can imagine the type of learning going on in these classrooms and the learning that the children are being able to now participate in as opposed to previously. So we're sold. We love the program, and it's just helping our children be much more successful. Thank you, and I'll pass it on.
Good afternoon, Madam Charity, Chair Dottery. I'm Teresa Slater, and I'm with the Early Learning Hub of Jackson County and Josephine County. Since December of 2015, 10 of 11 of our school districts in Jackson and Josephine counties have sent representatives to the PACS training. Our collaborative planning and funding team has chosen to sponsor a two-day PACS training, although it can be taught in one, to allow attendees to fully immerse themselves in the model. We have supported fully the cost of the PACS staff, the substitute release time for school representatives, and food to keep our attendees happy. They love the lunches. Because of this, and because of our success and our early implementations have had, we are now seeing school districts willing to allocate their own funds to support release time. This has been really a difficult thing for schools. Their budgets are very tight, but they're seeing the immediate impact and the benefit in releasing their teachers to be able to take this training. This is a prime example of early learning hubs and the coordinated care organizations working together with the K-12 system to start and move forward for true systemic change. I've worked with Susan with the CCO, and I've worked with Teresa Sayer with the K-12 system, and myself with the Early Learning Hub, and this is a real opportunity for all of us to come together to really make change in our communities and in our families inside the homes. It's really having a change. Our community now has over 200 professionals skilled up and ready to implement PACS. They serve as instructional assistants, preschool teachers, elementary, middle school teachers, principals, superintendents, mentor teachers, mental health staff, speech language pathologists, library media staff, and PE teachers. Thank you. I'll pass it off to my partner.
Thank you, Teresa.
And you are?
good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Peter Buckley. I have two different jobs right now. I'm the program director for the Southern Oregon Success, the Regional Achievement Collaboration in Southern Oregon, serving Jackson and Josephine County out of the Southern Oregon ESD. I also work half-time for Governor Kate Brown as a senior policy advisor. I am senior policy advisor on transformation and budget stability. And in both of those roles, this work and this material, I can't even begin to tell you how exciting I find it and how remarkable it is to be introduced to it. Those of you who were here in the last session, and particularly last May, a year ago May, when the speaker was kind enough to let us do farewell addresses on the House floor, you guys missed that one. You're probably better off for it. But during the comments, my comments I made, I talked about kind of entering into this world of trauma-informed care based on the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. And the training I was fortunate enough to receive in the trauma-informed practices comes from a group called ACE Interface, which actually has its origins in the state of Washington. And they found by putting trauma-informed practices in place in a very intentional way based on four different sciences: neurobiology, which is how our brain develops, and the impact of trauma and toxic stress on our development, the outcomes from those experiences for children. Epigenetics, how we pass down traits and the way our DNA, the expression of our DNA is changed by the experience of trauma and toxic stress. The Adverse Childhood Experiences Study, which is a population-based study on the outcomes faced by people who experience adverse childhood experiences at different levels. And then resilience is the fourth science, neurobiology, epigenetics, ACEs, and resilience. And the science of resilience is profound. It is a multi-decade study that answers the question of why. Why does one person experience tremendous adversity while they're growing up and find a way to succeed? And another person who experiences the exact same type of adversity not find that path? And the science of resilience shows that we can focus on three core protective systems. The first is individual capabilities, and that's what the PACS Good Behavior Game is all about. It actually teaches kids who have not the skills to self-regulate, it teaches them how to self-regulate. It teaches them how to work with others. It gives them that opportunity. And to give you a very brief description of my visit to Orchard Hill Elementary School in the Phoenix Town School District, I walked into a building and almost, it was a different atmosphere than I'd ever experienced in a public elementary school. Every adult in that school was looking every kid in the eye and calling them by name. That struck me immediately. Something's happening here. Something different is happening here. And I went to the first grade classroom, and on the way there, the administrator who was taking me there, a wonderful, wonderful woman, was telling me how the game actually comes into being. The classroom teacher actually begins with her students by asking them, what's the coolest classroom you can possibly imagine? What's like the greatest classroom you can possibly imagine? So the kids help define what PAX is. PAX is a Greek word meaning happiness and prosperity. So what's the coolest place you could come to school? And the kids say things like, oh, everybody gets along, and there's laughter and music. We get to do things, and kids are happy with each other, etc. So the kids help design what the PAX is. That's the really cool classroom where everybody has a great time and everybody learns. So the PACS Good Behavior Game is a game that they play two or three times a day to almost like pretend like what would it be like to be in that really cool classroom. And as Teresa was saying, when you somehow go against the PACS, it's a spleem. And I think the word spleem was designed because you have to kind of smile when you say it. Spleem, not spleem. It's not that big a deal because it goes on throughout the day. So the morning I'm watching it, the teacher says to her kids, hey, we're going to do the PACS with the spelling test. So all the kids, they go forward to a table, blue table, red table, green table, yellow table. And as she's giving the spelling test, if a kid puts his head down on the desk or disrupts the class somehow, it's a spleem. You know, spleem, blue table. And if I do a spleem and Teresa gets mad at me, that's another spleem. So she doesn't want to get mad at me, right? So just throughout the course of this game, they're playing, they're taking the spelling test, and spleems are given out every now and then. They're recorded on a little scorecard. And at the end of the test, they turn in their papers, and the table with the fewest spleems, they get to come up and pick a prize out of Granny's wacky prize hat. So the morning I'm there, the prize was you get to make goofy faces at your classmates for 30 seconds, right? So that's what the four kids do, and everyone's laughing, and then they go back to work. And the teacher told me that the favorite prize is you get to make armpit farts for 30 seconds. You know,
that's
so
good.
So it's this sense of community, this sense of fun, this sense of trying to accomplish something together, that you are a PACS leader. At one point, I'm just sitting there watching, and the teacher's kind of out of the blue. She goes, hey, kids, who are you? And all the kids go, we're PACS leaders. And she goes, oh, yeah? What are you going to do? Change the world. So quick story just to kind of illustrate the personal impact this could have. There was a little guy in the classroom, and he could not sit still. He did not have those skills. Because of what he experienced growing up, he is hyper-vigilant, always ready for the next bad thing to happen, and he could not talk. And what he would say was usually mean and directed at someone else. And from what his teacher told me, that they had worked tremendously hard since he started first grade just to keep him in the classroom even for an hour. If he could stay in the classroom for an hour without disrupting the whole class, it was a victory. So through the implementation of the PACS Good Behavior Game, his participation in it, from March through the end of school last June, the kid was in the classroom in June for a whole day. Changed a life. That kid's now in second grade. He's in school all day. So when we talk about shutting off the school-to-prison pipeline, When we talk about giving kids the skills they need to succeed, this is the most exciting work that I've seen in many, many, many years. And it fits in together with what we're doing with trying to be a trauma-informed region in Southern Oregon, which goes across all sectors. The success that Phoenix Talent has experienced has not only spread to all the different school districts, but with support from All Care and other coordinating care organizations in our region, we've been able to take this information across sectors. We've been able to go to the community justice folks and say, look, this is what's happening here. It's possible to actually teach self-regulation. We've been able to work with mental health providers who are actually working in tandem with across all of our sectors. Anywhere we can reach a kid, we're trying to reach a kid or a young adult to try to give them the tools and skills that they need. So I greatly appreciate you allowing us to be here to present this information and to share our enthusiasm for it. I could talk about this for a long, long time because I'm very excited about it. But in terms of changing kids' lives, changing directions for kids' lives, in terms of the budget implications, because I have to get to that as well, I mean, imagine this. Imagine if with this low investment and this tremendous return, and I think the data is in your packet, that for every 1,000 kids who have the benefit of this sort of approach, the number of kids who won't need an individual education program, the number of kids who won't end up going to jail, the number of kids who will end up not attempting suicide, these numbers to me are phenomenal. The idea that we can make this kind of impact with this kind of approach, and in a way that the teachers involved, probably not 100%, but pretty darn close to 100% of the teachers have embraced this and said, this is what we want. We want these type of tools. So again, thank you for having us here to allow you to present this information.
Great.
So in PACS, we talk about what we, what Peter alluded to, what we want to see, hear, feel, and do more of. These partnerships that you see across sector, this is what we want to continue doing to serve our children, families, and our educators. We do believe that this is also a workforce issue. We see teachers with lower levels of parallel trauma. We see them happier to come to work. We see them feeling hopeful again and being able to work in the ways that we originally entered the classroom for. So we're all very inspired. So I'm going to move through these next slides again very, very quickly out of respect for our time. Just so you know, we have recently trained 8 of us as PACS partners. We went to an intensive 2-day training. What we will be doing over the next school year is really standing alongside our educators that are implementing PACS, helping to gather data, helping to do continuous quality improvement, and provide coaching and technical assistance. So we make sure that the investment that is there is not only one that is fiscally responsible, but it's having a positive impact, and we believe that that will lead to sustainability. So in your packet, you will find lots of information. Again, what we really wanted to impress upon you is this is not a fad. This is a system that's been developed over decades. It's been proven to work, and it is working for us and for many school districts across the state. So our vision for Oregon. No matter where in Oregon you see PACS being implemented, there is a common vision for what it will bring to our communities. We envision that PACS will be rolled out statewide and gifted to all schools. It's been singled out as potentially one of the most effective early universal school-based prevention strategies based on multiple randomized longitudinal trials, and it is endorsed by both the Institute of Medicine and SAMHSA. We look forward to the day when the statewide adoption of PACS provides the roughly 46,000 first graders in the state of Oregon to achieve so much more of their potential. So these are a little bit of those deeper numbers that Peter was alluding to. And for sake of time and to make sure that my mouth works right, I'm going to round these numbers for you. We will celebrate the 4,000 less children in that first grade cohort who need any form of special education, the 4,100 young women more likely to graduate from high school, the 455 fewer young people committing serious violent crimes, the 3,000 fewer regular smokers, the 4,500 fewer young people developing serious drug addiction, and the 5,000 fewer young people contemplating suicide. And again, I'd remind you that that is one first grade cohort. Before we hand our presentation over to our amazing partners from the North, we again wish to thank the committee for your time and interest in PACS. We encourage you to consider the statistics we've shared with you and hold them in mind as you think about two other sets of numbers. The first is 3-1 versus 80-1. The second is $128 versus $75. 3-1 and $128 represent the return on investment and cost of the CDC's measles, mumps, varicella, and rubella vaccine. PACS Good Behavior Game has a proven ROI of 80-1 and accomplishes this at a cost of only $75 per student. And our investment in training and inspiring the staff that serve them. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We have about 5 minutes for questions. Any questions? Representative Wilson.
Thanks. A question for Peter. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
We kind of went to elementary school in the same era, kind of. What's different about our elementary school environment that you and I share than what you see today?
Thank you, Representative, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Wilson. It does strike me, the we came from a more homogeneous, if I use that word correctly, homogeneous time. There was, even though many of us grew up without a lot of money, the level of poverty is different now. The number of drug and alcohol incidents are higher now. In a lot of sense, our society, in my view, has taken some really sharp, difficult turns. Families are struggling more. There's less of a sense of community in many respects than when we were going to school. And again, one thing that really excites me about this work is that it kind of requires us to look again at community. It requires us to say, what can we do as a school community, as a region, and eventually as a state, to actually focus on supporting our kids and our families with this information we've been given. Mm-hmm. And again, I mentioned the efforts in Washington with the Self-Healing Communities Initiative, which we're now instituting in Southern Oregon. They saw results along the lines of the teen suicide attempts going down by 98% over a decade, high school graduation rates going up by 42%, teen pregnancies going down, drug use going down. By trying to meet every child where that child is and developing those relationships that are so important to resilience. If you really want to just put resilience down to one sentence, it's relationships. And I think, Representative, when we were going to school, we had the benefit of, I guess, of a more nurturing community that allowed us to have that kind of support.
Just a quick follow-up for anybody who'd like to respond. Is there a... I'm having a hard time getting my head wrapped around what this must look like. Is there a video presentation out there anywhere?
Yeah, we have a video.
Okay, good. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, that worked out well.
You think so far ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Representative Solon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate this presentation. I know that in Hillsborough, the focus is Hillsborough School District, about knowing each student by name, strength, and need. And I think what you have said boils down to a really important point of the relationship part. And I know that our teachers and our so much has changed. I really appreciate Representative Wilson bringing that up, because you'll hear from people saying, well, why can't we just get back to reading, writing, arithmetic? I mean, we're just going so far from that. Well, the truth of the matter is that our society and our communities, as you touched on, have changed in so many ways. And so in order to support that reading, writing, arithmetic, we have to know that we have to address other things within for our students to learn. Gosh, if they come to school with no food in their stomach,
right,
how are they expected to do math? So I love this topic. I love the fact that you're talking about giving kids the tools to make their corrective behavior choices. It's not telling, it's putting the power within themselves, which I think is very empowering for them. And I think is the part of the life lesson for them. Supporting teachers and providing the mentors and the coaching is key. you know, not only have you talked about it within your own training purposes, but also peer-to-peer. I mean, these kids are helping each other. And so I appreciate the presentation. I look forward to hearing more, and thank you.
Okay. I do have a question. Where was the program developed? Where did it come from? Or did you guys develop it?
No.
Or is that going to be brought up next time?
Well, the next person. Okay.
If you want to address that the next,
sure.
My question the next time, that'd be fine. So it seems like the moral of all of this is we want a spleen-free world.
Madam Chair, if I can address that, we don't need a spleen-free world. Yes, what we need is a world where we learn to decrease our spleens, mm-hmm. and to be resilient and to recognize that everyone spleens has happen. Inherent worth and value, and that when we do run up against those times where we spleen, we can come back from that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're truly about, yeah. as a society.
Every teacher up here will agree with you.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you so very much. Any other questions? And thank you guys for so much for coming up on such a gorgeous day.
Get a T-shirt.
Okay.
Happen.
Okay, Washington County. And we're sorry about the time. We have to go into session at 4, so. Okay.
Yeah,
we've got a good time. Thank you guys much. Well, as they're getting set up, I mean, it's the same sort of thing. I was visiting a school, and I've said this before, a young student just would bolt out of class, the second grader, and just would leave, and phenomenal principal who, you know, even couldn't bribe this young man with a Halloween costume. But part of the reason was is when he was in first grade, he had been pulled out of the home for domestic abuse, and he says on the phone to his mother in the principal's office, he goes, "Well, I just hope Daddy didn't leave bruises on you like the last time."
Aww.
And so these are the sort of children, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of these kind of examples, and these are the children that when they get that kind of help and that whatever will be good, productive citizens. So thank you. Okay.
Okay, good afternoon, Chair Doherty and members of the committee. Thank you for having us. I'm Genevieve Ellis. I'm the Prevention Services Manager with Washington County Children, Youth, and Families.
And I am Rebecca Collette from Early Learning Washington County. I'm a Senior Manager there.
And I'm Sarah Keller with the Hillsborough School District. I'm the PACS teacher on special assignment, supporting our teachers that are trained. And I'd like to segue just into a little bit of experiential learning and let you live one of the key kernels that's part of the PACS program. As was mentioned before, Granny's Wacky Prizes, which are just quick, brief, engaging activities to refocus our students and get them re-engaged in their learning. I am going to run you through the game. It'll be about 30 seconds, and you may stand if you'd like, including those in the audience. Or you may stay seated. I'll stay seated so that I can get access to the mic. The first thing I want everyone to show me is a tiger really quickly, if everyone can show me tiger. And then if you can show me unicorn.
Oh my gosh.
And if you can show me alien. And my favorite is cow. It looks like this, but put it by your tummy. These are udders.
Cow.
Okay.
On the count of three, I will show one of those things, as will you. If we match, you are unfortunately out. Great job trying, though. And then we'll do it again. So again, you do not want to match me, and you do not want to make a hybrid. That is a spleen, so please don't do that. All right, I will stay seated, but again, you can stand if you'd like. Ready? One, two, three. Pick one.
Oh,
great job. That's all right. We'll play one more time. One, two, three. Thank you. All right. Thank you for those of you that participated. That's just a Granny's Wacky Prize, as he was referencing earlier. Hillsborough School District's adoption of PACS GBG came from the recognition that our students were coming to us with behavior and learning challenges. We needed to better understand how to support them and enable them to grow both academically and socially. We heard from many teachers experiencing those difficult behaviors in their classrooms, they did not have the tools or the knowledge to support them. As was mentioned before, they had increased stress, fatigue, and felt like the joy of teaching was being lost. It was at that time that HSD partnered with Early Learning Washington County and held that first training in 2014. I am one of the first teachers to be trained that year. And I can say currently in our third year of implementation, we have over 300 teachers that are trained implementing this right now in classrooms. Pre-K through sixth grade, English and dual language classrooms, counselors, mentors, principals, specialists, ERC teachers, and a countless number of instructional assistants. We have at least 4 school-wide models with the attempt to go 2 more next year to add. And we also have our after-school programs that are working to adopt these kernels to support our students. In Hillsboro, PACS GBG has become an essential piece of our trauma-informed strategy. It is centered.
Okay.
We'll stay here.
AV.
It's centered on creating that nurturing environment for our students.
Thank you.
And building strong relationships between students, staff, and families. It puts staff and student well-being at the core, and it has given our teachers specific tools to use in the classroom that are effective, fun, trauma-informed, evidence-based, and are promoting positive youth development in all of our students. The desire is growing quickly with PACS GBG in Washington County, and I want to show you just a clip of what this looks like in a classroom so that you can see how this joy is being brought back to our classrooms. Mm-hmm. This is Dawn Clemson from one of our first grade classrooms in Hillsborough School District. And I want you just to notice how quickly students become re-engaged, how the spleens are pointed out, but they are brushed off. We all make mistakes and grow and learn from them.
Classroom management helps students' self-esteem, shows how kids can really get involved in it. And I started thinking, this might be something I can use.
Yours. We are bettering our world by
bettering ourselves.
And you're going to show me that today, aren't you?
Yes.
Good job. We want to see good PACS leaders this morning on the carpet. And then we're going to place a game at our desks, okay?
Yes,
so right now we have no spleens at the moment. I'm going to set my timer. This morning, because we're going to do a quick game this morning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can do it. 5 minutes. Remember, what I'm looking for is more seeing eyes on me, hearing good times, doing, feeling good morning. Okay, ready to go. Eyes on the teacher, things like that. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to blow my horn running and we'll start. Ready? Good job. Start. Super duper. All right. So this morning, help me out again. What month are we in?
May!
You know, they gave us these harmonicas and said, you're going to blow it. And I'm thinking, really? A harmonica? Me? But yet, you know what? It's an extremely effective tool to get their attention. And they love, the moment you do it. So, it's been great.
Mouth.
Thinking with your head, not your mouth. What month came before May? Ready?
April!
I'm so sorry. Remember, I said thinking with your...
Okay.
Yeah. That's all right. It's all right. Just remember. All right. Ready? Tell me.
April!
I'm trying to fool you. Think with your head again. What month comes after May?
June!
Good job. All right. There were some kids on the playground. And then eight... ran in to see the teacher.
Why?
Now there is 21. Thinking of the equation I got it right?
Yeah.
Let me see. So to get this number, what did I have to do?
It's beside you, Mr.
So hold that thought for just a second. Let's finish this, then we'll come back to that exciting news. Okay, hold on for a minute. To get 21, what do we have to have over here? We have to have the biggest number, don't we?
9.
Yeah, well, 21. Put the 8 back together. What did we come up with?
8.
How many
9?
29,
was
it? Uh-huh. Oh, grasshopper. We have figured it out. Oh my goodness. In 5 minutes, we only got 2 little spleens. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Ready? And the answer is... Oh, we don't have any of those, so I have to pick another one. Oh, really? Oh no. It says mumble, grumble, and growl. It says the winning teams get to mumble, grumble, and growl and look really upset like they lost. Are you ready to mumble, grumble, and growl?
Yes.
Okay. We got 20 seconds to be the meanest, grumpiest, growliest people you can be. You ready? Go! You guys sure sounded mean and grumpy and growly to me.
And that was a brief sample of what the Good Behavior Game looks like in action. That was about 5 minutes. We do have classrooms right now that are playing games for 60 minutes. And during that time of 60 minutes, students are incredibly engaged in their learning and are able to do that quick brain release afterwards and jump right back into their instruction. I wanted to share just a couple testimonials from students. This, in fact, is Logan, a third grader here. And when asked why he loves PAX, these are his top five reasons. He says that it teaches kids how to control their body, how to control their manners. You can teach your friends and family all about PAX so they can teach other people about PAX. PAX teaches you more about helping people when they do hard things, and we see more happy faces. Our teachers have reported that they are seeing happier colleagues in their buildings with PAX implementation. This is also one of our teachers here with Dr. Dennis Embry, one of the founders of PAX, Dr. PAX as he's called in our schools. And April, our teacher, states that it was a welcome addition to her teaching life. It came at a most desperate time of feeling like that she was failing her students and herself every day. Such a great perspective to have on that relationships of teachers and students to students. And she loves the locus of control, both individual and built together as a collective group. It really is a much more peaceful way to be and teach each day. And just a few more of our students that are sharing. It helps kids learn appropriate behavior in a fun way. It helps kids learn to be quiet when they're supposed to, and helps them focus when they need to do work. I see teachers who use PAX showing more warmth and positivity to their students, as recognized by a student. PAX gives me more positive language to use in order to encourage positive behavior in a stronger classroom community.
Okay. And again, if you want to reintroduce yourself.
Sure. Rebecca Collette, Senior Manager with Early Learning Washington County, and I am very excited to be here. I've been working at implementing PAX for about the last 6 years. So I will try really hard to regulate my excitement as I share my story with you. I have a personal and professional piece to PAX and my journey with PAX. I was first introduced to PAX GBG when I was a suicide prevention coordinator for Washington County. At that time, I was a parent of one, a toddler, Nathan, who is now 11, and I have a 6-year-old, Morgan, and a year-and-a-half-year-old, that sounds really funny, Colson. So I have three since then, so it's been a long time that I've been focused on PAX Good Behavior Game. PAX makes sense. It made sense in a professional manner. It crosses across the prevention domains. It prevents substance abuse, suicide, absenteeism. But I really became relentless to pursue PAX when my kids entered school. And it was when Nathan entered kindergarten that teachers started telling me how energetic he is, how active he is. But he's really compassionate, too, and caring. I started to get the code words there and heard more and more as we went kindergarten through fifth grade. He was constantly kind of touching others and fidgety. So I started spending time in the classroom, and what I realized is it wasn't just Nathan. There were many degrees of Nathan in his classroom. There were usually about six kids, typically boys, that were moving all around, fidgety, talking out of place, not raising their hand, really disturbing or distracting others from learning. And these are all typical normal behaviors of kids, but they can be really challenging in the classroom environment. And what I noticed at the same time is I noticed that Nathan's teacher was redirecting almost the whole entire time I was in the classroom, 45 minutes in the classroom, redirection. That didn't leave a lot of time for teaching. And the redirection really was in that moment. It didn't stay into the next classroom activity. The redirection had to occur again. Nathan is a very happy and compassionate child. And yes, he's off task, and he often forgets things. So we spent many years working with teachers and working with the schools implementing behavior plans, both at home and in school. We finally decided to try medication. Unfortunately, medication was not the answer. Our very wonderful, outgoing, charismatic boy turned into a very depressed, very withdrawn, very angry, and defiant child, all within a few weeks of taking medication. Needless to say, medication was not the answer. Nathan did not have PACS in his classrooms. He didn't have it in kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, or fifth grade. And Nathan may or may not have ADHD, but I can share with you that those behavioral challenges, those issues that we saw in Nathan could have been addressed in those five other children that were also standing out in the classroom. And it could have simply been addressed through PACS by developing a nurturing classroom environment. I'm happy to say today my 6-year-old Morgan, who is in a PACS classroom in the same school that Nathan attended in Tiger Tualatin School District, it's amazing the difference in her kindergarten classroom compared to Nathan's classroom. I volunteer also in her classroom. And there are still off-task behaviors, mm-hmm. but not nearly as many as I witnessed in Nathan's classrooms. And what I do see, what's really amazing when I'm in those classrooms, is I see Morgan and her peers working as members of a community to support each other's positive behavior. They are PACS leaders. They are creating their environment that is appropriate for them to learn in with the guidance of their teacher. The teacher has time to teach, and the kids have fun learning. In Morgan's kindergarten classroom, you do not see 8, 6, or even 3 children that stand out. What you see is a whole classroom that stands out. And you see that because they are working in teams, working together to benefit the success of their larger community.
And we're going to have you, Robert. We've got about 8 minutes to finish everything.
So I will turn it over to Genevieve in 1 sec. I just want to say PACS is growing really, really fast in Washington County. And it started in 2014 when we were granted a Youth and Innovation Grant. And we now see PACS Good Behavior Game in Hillsborough, in Forest Grove, in Sherwood, and in Beaverton schools. And it is at various degrees. And I'm going to turn it over to Genevieve to share where we are in Washington County.
Thank you so very much.
I'm, again, Genevieve Ellis, Prevention Services Manager with Washington County Children, Youth, and Families. So just to pick up a little bit where Rebecca left off, in addition to Hillsborough, we have schools in Tiger Tualatin, Forest Grove, Sherwood, and Beaverton that are implementing. Tiger Tualatin implemented in all kindergarten classrooms this year. They're going to train all first and second grade teachers in August. Sherwood has trained more than 50% of their kindergarten teachers and 20% of their first grade teachers. And Forest Grove is planning to move school-wide in all of their elementary schools in the next year or so. So it's very exciting. So Washington County has really been able to do a lot of work over the last 3 years with relatively small amounts of funding. By the end of the summer, we'll have over 700 teachers trained in 51 of the 81 elementary schools in the county. We've been able to leverage both health and education funding streams, so Medicaid, mental health prevention funds, mm-hmm. kindergarten partnership innovation funds,
and alcohol and drug prevention funds, and this is due to the large base of research and data that show that having good behavior game in your elementary school classroom reduces alcohol and drug use and abuse, suicide ideation, interaction with the juvenile justice system, absenteeism, a whole number of issues, which is fantastic. Recently, it feels like Washington County has come to a tipping point where the demand for training from schools and teachers and districts is exceeding our funding capabilities. So, for example, in February, we hosted a teacher training that was supposed to be for 40 teachers, and we had 80 teachers sign up within 24 hours, which is just really impressive. And we had another teacher and partner training in May, and we're planning 5 teacher trainings in August. At districts, as was mentioned by our Southern Oregon partners, are starting to put in their own time and resources to try to match our funding and really move the needle forward in being able to expand PACS. However, we could do so much more. So overall, the demand for PACS is coming from the teachers in the schools. However, Washington County recognizes the broad health and social impacts of good behavior game, and we're committed to supporting this work as much as we're able. We currently have an application for funding submitted to the Youth Development Council, and we're planning on applying for funding from Care Oregon at the end of the summer. And we would love to find a way to bring PACS to scale, not only in Washington County, but across the state. Thank you all very
Thank
much.
Thank you so very much. Any questions? We have about 3 minutes for questions. Representative Solman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was curious, can you tell me if this is something that a district has to adopt for a plan, or if there are teachers that say, I want this tool for my toolbox, and so how can I go and sign up as a to get this training, or does it have to be?
So it's helpful when there is support from at least the principal and the district, of course, to get time for substitutes to be able to go to trainings, to feel like you have a PACS partner in your building that can support your work. Sarah, do you want to speak to that a little bit more?
Absolutely. So right now we have 59 PACS partners across Washington County. That was not the case when this was first brought to us. There was 2 partners first that helped support the group of 40 that were trained. So having teachers really come to this on their own is first the key, and then having the support of principals, administration, and then potentially a partner or coach can really help this continue and be sustained.
But you can go district-wide. So there's several ways to do it, but you really, it really in Washington County was a grassroots movement. Mm-hmm. But there has, Forest Grove is planning on going district-wide. But that's because the teachers and the principals asked for it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Follow-up?
Yeah, because it looks like of all the districts that Beaverton's about the only one that isn't 100%.
And one of the main.
And they're moving towards that.
Yes, they're moving towards it. And one of the main reasons we have not really moved into Beaverton is because of our lack of capacity and funding. We know once Beaverton bites, then, yeah.
Okay, quickly.
Yeah, follow up. Thank you. So your training, how long is your training for teachers? And then, so you're saying this training is done during the school year, so there isn't like a summer workshop?
So we're going to be having a training in August that the schools have given their professional development days to this. And it's a one-day training. It can be a two-day training. In other areas, it is a college course. So we're given a quick snapshot. That's why we have so many PACS partners, because the teachers need the support because they're not getting a full college course.
Okay, yeah. Representative McLean.
Do you have any statistics or any experience, since you've had it like 3 years or however long you sit in the Hillsborough District, where you have kids, do you find them getting tired of the game in the second year or the third year, or do they look like they're just as engaged?
I would say they still look like they're engaged. As a classroom teacher who used it multiple years, it especially came from the way that I presented it to my students, but it honestly helped me in September because I felt like they were used to a little bit of the routine as far as setting up classroom expectations. It helped me build relationships faster and jump into the academics much faster.
Thank you. And you do change the kernels, the granny wacky prizes. You change those, and that keeps them engaged, and the kids help create what those are, too.
Oh, that's great. Well, I know we're short on time, and I appreciate all of you coming up and doing this because of a lot of the programs that I've dealt with and worked with and so on and so forth. This one seems to be one of the most effective and, two, one of the most cost-efficient.
Yeah.
You know, if you can go through and have something for $75. And I think more importantly is one of the biggest challenges of keeping educators in education is the behavior problems that we're facing, especially at a very early age. So if we can go through and nip that in the bud a little bit, it will really help us hopefully maintain more educators. Mm-hmm. So thank you so very much, and I'm glad that all of the Tigard schools are in there. Tigard Wallen. Thank you very much. Okay, so with that, I close the informational hearing. So with that, I close the informational hearing.